So long, farewell, auf Wiedersehen, goodbye, adieu, adieu, to you and you and you. It's the end of the Taurus-Scorpio eclipse cycle. This is our final eclipse. It's a lunar eclipse taking place on October 28th, lunar eclipse in Taurus. Wow, well, let's talk about this. Okay, so for those of you who don't know me, welcome. My name's Irliana, and I practiced Western tropical astrology using whole sign houses. For those of you who do, welcome back. Yay, it's great to be here. Very excited because this has been a tough eclipse series. So in this video, we're gonna take you through all the houses of where we can celebrate this completion. It is like a rite of passage that we've all been through since November of 2021. So let's take that pause before we race off to the rest. It's gonna be a busy November, but so before we do that, let's take pause and really reflect on these things. So we'll just walk you through that. I'm gonna also talk about the basic features of this eclipse and also where the ruler of this eclipse is happening in your chart. Oh, by the way, I do readings and I'm doing a retreat, a wonderful retreat with Katerina Mazar next month. If you're in Florida, we'd love to have you. I'm going to be doing the astro forecast live as well as working with yogic practices to embody the astrological wisdom. It's not just an intellectual discussion, but it's embodying that. Very important at this time to be embodying astrology rather than just keeping it as an abstract concept. So we'll be doing that. Katerina got decades of experience. You can go see that video that we made. It's called Stellar Serenity Retreat. And I also do private sessions, packages, as well as individual sessions. So just go to starsoundastrology.com and you can check that out. Our next episode, we're going to be interviewing SJ Anderson again. Very excited. And Erin Reese is coming back. She's going to be sharing as Saturn is stationing direct in Pisces. At 0 degrees, this is a great opportunity to talk about non-duality and deep transcendent realities and teachings. She's going to walk us through that. Okay, the features of this eclipse. So this eclipse is the final eclipse on the Taurus-Scorpio axis. These have been fixed sign eclipses. So as we all know, no matter where it was in our chart, we've been dealing with our values and our comfort zone and our comfort, no comfort, right? Fear, no fear, embodying things or freezing up and hanging on and trying to control versus trusting and our body's innate wisdom. And so there's been a lot of that dialoguing. And of course, it certainly affects money, finances, because these are the money signs. So for those of us who have had them in the money houses, it was a double whammy. But for sure, all of our values and fears and things have come up to be looked at. And there has been a rite of passage here. And so this full moon is not only a full moon, always is a completion of things that come to a head and a resolution and a completion, but certainly because this is the last eclipse cycle of the Taurus-Scorpio axis, it's definitely a send-off. So it has a very much of an air of completion. So in this eclipse, it is going to be on October 28th, and it'll be in the afternoon, Eastern Standard Time. It'll peak around 4:40 or so. I apologize, my computer's in the shop, so I can't check my AstroGold software, but it's late afternoon, Eastern time, and just adjust for your time zone. And the shadow will start to build around 2 p.m., and it'll culminate about 4, and it'll be off the shadow for about 6 p.m. So it's at 5 degrees of Taurus. So if you happen to have any fixed signs, Leo, Aquarius, Scorpio, or Taurus, especially around the degrees of 5 degrees. Give it, say, 2 degrees to 8 degrees on either side of that. It'll definitely be very profound for you. Again, these are always, no matter where they are in our chart and how many degrees they are from any of our planets or any or no planets, they still pack a punch and they represent a major completion, endings, major beginnings. Venus is the ruler of this eclipse because it's 5 degrees of Taurus. Venus rules Taurus. She also rules Libra. So Venus is about our desires. It's about with Taurus, our personal wealth, the things that matter to us, our personal possessions, the things, you know, what we hold dear to us, whether it's a physical possession, certainly physical with Venus and Taurus, definitely, and the senses, the things that we can touch, taste, smell, feel, you know, with our embodiment. So these have all been up for review, and there have been expiration dates on how we have been being in the world regarding those topics. And so this one with Venus is the ruler, and the full moon in the sun, in Venus's temple of Taurus, Venus, the moon is exalted in Taurus. So it's really, as much as eclipses sometimes can be very rough and difficult, this one has a very positive tone to it for two reasons. One, the moon is exalted in Taurus, so it loves that comfort. It's Taurus speaks to rich, sensual fertility and comfort and good food and things that comfort and nurture us and that are fertile. If you think about in the Northern Hemisphere, that time of year that the sun is in Taurus, it's everything in the spring is now lush and growing and thick and fertile. And so this is where Venus is in this sign. Now, the moon is exalted, so it gets a lot of support, and there's lucky Jupiter. Jupiter is very close to its retrograde, but it is in, it's about 7 degrees from the moon. So there is an aspect of hope and faith and trust in the divine, in the ability to nurture ourselves, to have faith in our resilience, to have faith in the knowledge of who we are. I would say the word mystically comes in. Whew, okay, you know, we're gonna take it because Jupiter rules prophecy as well. So there is that element, that mystical element of nurturing and sustenance, that it can go beyond our sensate world, where we get fed from, where that fertility exists. So the moon is exalted in the sign of Taurus. And now we go and look at Venus. Now, Venus is in Virgo. Now, technically, Venus in Virgo, that's not the most comfortable place for her. So there's a certain way we have to find our joy, that the joy of connection, which Venus is all about love and pleasure and connection and intimacy. And where it finds its pleasure is in the sign of Virgo, which is a very studious, officious, you know, kind of work, harvest, think about the details kind of sign. She doesn't really like that so much, but I would say that the joy of that is to connect on maybe an intellectual level. We could even find joy and happiness and service with being in service. Like Virgo, we think about volunteering, love as service. That could be a piece of that. I'm going to walk you through the rising signs, starting with Aries, and we're going to look at not only where this eclipse is falling, but where Venus is. So it's just going to bring in another house and the archetypes and the ideas and the consciousness associated with that house and weave it in. Venus happens to be opposite Neptune for this eclipse. So Venus in Virgo with the Neptune opposition is definitely about weaving together, a very big deal about health. Venus in Virgo, be discerning with your health. Love and care for your temple, your beautiful temple, that sacred Holy Spirit. Venus in Virgo is like, be discerning around your body, be discerning and take really good care of yourself. With that opposition with Neptune, that can drain. It can, if we overwork or overthink or overdo things or work too hard, the opposition with Neptune is like, slow down, man. You know, Neptune is like kind of like the dream police. Like, are you taking it easy? I would say also in the realm of creativity, with Venus ruling that creativity and Virgo ruling writing, we might give ourselves a break, let go of the critical mind in our creative pursuits and just incorporate our greatest dreams and wishes and weave that into that efficient, hard-working aspect of ourselves that Venus in Virgo represents. So it's to have that balance. It's asking, you know, she's asking us to what part of our life, in what area of our life is this balance being called for? So with that, let's start with Aries. Okay, so for Aries rising, this eclipse is in your second house, which is the personal possessions houses. It's your own money, cash in the bank, your own values, the things that you value. And Venus in Virgo for this eclipse is in your sixth, she's coming through your sixth house of work. So there's some kind of completion occurring with the value. It's, you know, it's a money sign, right? The money houses, we've been getting slammed there. Those Aries rising and Libra risings, you know what I'm talking about. There's been some difficulty here. So let's congratulate. If you are an Aries rising, congratulate yourself on that beautiful wherewithal. We've all been given this rite of initiation with this eclipse cycle. And for you, it means a lot for your self-worth. And Venus in Virgo in the sixth house is like, there is no, you know, there doesn't have to be a struggle and a difficulty anymore. And we can take pride in the work that we do. It might also involve something with people in our workplace, people that we associate, our coworkers, and our daily routine and our daily living. The sixth house is like the, where our health is involved too. Again, very much about health, nutrition. So being discerning around that as well. Okay, for Taurus rising, these, you know, this has been an angular eclipse. So angular eclipses, 1st, 4th, 7th, 10th, very important. These are life-changing. This is like breaking up that fixed sign, breaking up that, picking up the cement, you know, let's be all right, Taurus, you know, I mean, I know you're the salt of the earth, but you can be a little stubborn. So with Uranus going through your first house the last several years, it's definitely been breaking that cement up. And then these eclipses are assisting you in that transformation. So Venus rules your ascendant. And so she is transiting through the fifth house. So that's about love and pleasure and creativity and romance and sex, hookups, partying and pleasure and fun activities, adventure, bringing in all of those elements are definitely a part of what you're looking at with this particular final eclipse in Taurus. You know, don't forget next month, in November, Mars is until the end of November. Mars is in its domicile, in his domicile of Scorpio, and it's making all this contact. This is for everybody. Making all this contact with the eclipse, conjuncting and opposing all the eclipses that have taken place for the last 2 years. So there's this final push of action. Just for now, just know that, you know, take the break that we need for the eclipse these several few days. Know that next month, it's like all of these major changes that have been asked of you because it's been an angular eclipse. This is a change of the wheel turning, you know, this initiating new ventures where we can settle in, right? Earth, fixed Earth, settling in. Venus in Virgo is saying yes, and be discerning about, you know, where you have fun and how you have fun and the pleasures and all that. Like, yes, enjoy yourself, but also, you know, don't forget your health. Like, don't, you know, the hedonism of, you know, Virgo, like, we'll have some Venus in Virgo. Okay, maybe not Jack Daniels, but how about some wheatgrass? So let's go on a date and drink wheatgrass or arugula. Let's eat some arugula. I don't know. Anyway, moving on, Gemini. All right, you guys, you Gemini risings. This is in your 12th house. So that 12th house, that the house of the hermit, the house where we feel like we're shipwrecked and we're alone in the world, and there's solitude, and we sometimes feel very alone and abandoned. But the grace of the 12th house eclipse cycle and these eclipses, which has been happening in your 6th and 12th houses, not the easiest houses. So really congratulate yourself. There's been a lot there of opening to see these things more clearly. I think too, with Mercury very close to Mars, we'll be making a connection with Mars in the next few days. There is some definitely opportunities here for some insights of the subconscious processes that we sometimes react from, and the ability to stop and go, you know, like what I was saying with Andrea Michelle, we talked about this in depth. So please do check those out, those videos, if you haven't. But we talked about that, this ability to not to react and jump, but like think and pause. So this final eclipse in the 12th house, it has probably had you feeling something of making sacrifices and efforts and things that are maybe go unrecognized. But the good news is Venus in Virgo is in your 4th house, transiting there. And so that would speak to, you know, of course, Virgo is also ruled by Mercury. So that maybe there's some communications and things that complete and you have a breakthrough in regarding family matters, family, kin, real estate, your home, your roots, your genealogy. Maybe there's some breakthroughs for you there. and realizations. Okay, so for Cancer, you Cancer risings, this is in your 11th house of friends and tribe and groups and networks and allies and colleagues. So there's some kind of completion that is taking place here. And you've had your eclipses in the 5th and 11th houses. So those are support houses of, you know, pleasure and things, and then the fun and the joy of connecting with others. So maybe you've seen maybe there's some kind of release that means something regarding friends and allies. Venus is transiting in your third house now, so that would point to your communications with your friends and allies, your thoughts, communications, the way in which your daily routine happens and all happens around them. And so there is that breakthrough opportunity for you guys there. Okay, Leo. Again, this has been an angular eclipse for you, Leo risings. These eclipses have been happening in your 4th and 10th houses, and this final eclipse, 10th house of career, and the Venus in Virgo. You know, you might have had some conflict with family and career drama, you know, let's face it. It's like, hey, you know, Leo rising, man. But Venus in the second is like, okay, like, was that worth it, the drama? And what kind of an impact did it have on my finances and my self-worth and what I feel and think about myself, my creativity, career, self-image, home, and the money house? So Virgo rising, this final eclipse is in your 9th house, which is your house of your spirituality and your spiritual beliefs and even travel, like long distance travel, foreign cultures. So this has had a great impact here. So something comes to completion around that. Venus has been transiting through your first house. So this has to do with your self-image, your physical body, your physical embodiment. And so you want to look at that for areas of breakthrough and completion and pat yourself on the back. It's not been an easy ride, but you did it. Yay. All right, Libra risings, you guys have had these eclipses in the money houses again, you know, second and eighth, bouncing back and forth. The final eclipse is in your 8th house, which is investors' money, other people's money, the money of a spouse or partner. It could also be wills, estates, taxes, sex, death, and taxes, right? Pith, right there. 8th house, man. It's all about that. Survival, merging our resources with another. So there has been a lot of upheaval and completion around any kind of stuck ideas we've had around how we are supported, who supports us, who we support. We could look at that too as like soul agreements and what debts do we owe someone? What debts do others owe us? And so there's some kind of completion involving that. Venus is transiting through your 12th house. So there has been this feeling of maybe this sacrificial feeling of having to give something up and not being easy, struggle and sacrifice. But knowing in the long run, there's some great movement occurring and it will all be worth it. And it will definitely sort itself out for sure as in the months to come. Okay, Scorpio rising. This is in your 7th house of partnership, marriage. This is personal partner, committed, long-term committed relationship. It can also speak to business partners, collaborations, clients, client relationships, and all, and having some major breakdowns, breakthroughs, and rearrangement with that. Venus in Virgo has been in your 11th house of friends, so it's saying discernment around the friends and maybe the tribe that you've been hanging with. Can be some great breakthroughs around those topics. How we connect, connecting with our minds, connecting in service. Don't forget, too, for you Scorpio risings, next month in November is going to be pretty major because Mars is in Scorpio and it is moving through in your first house. Venus is in your 11th house of friends. Mars moving through your first, so there's some action to be taken, but strategically thought out and to move beyond reaction into proactiveness and discovering, I would say, a new level of resilience. I think that would really speak to you guys. Okay, Sag rising, 6th house. This is in your 6th house of health and daily routine and your workplace. And so Venus in Virgo is in your 10th house. So discernment around connections with the area of your work, your daily routine and activity, also impacting areas of your career and your public image and your reputation. For you Cap risings, this is in your fifth house of love, pleasure, romance, children, fertility, creativity, so creative projects. There's some kind of completion in that area of your life. Venus in Virgo is in a ninth house, so we're tying in topics around your beliefs, your philosophy, your spiritual beliefs and philosophy, and maybe there's something for you in the area of creative projects that involve these areas. Okay, Aquarius rising. Again, this is has been angular eclipses for you. So it's like, whew, okay, some major changes that were asked of you, the universe wanted you to have regarding fourth house matters. So this eclipse is the completion around fourth house family and home and our family members and the very foundations of our life, you know, being uprooted and questioned and shifted. Venus in Virgo is in your eighth house, so that would have involved things around other people's money and estates, maybe insurance, trust funds, annuities, maybe the passing of a person in your life. I would also say, too, with Venus in Virgo, discernment involved around money and expenses and investments that it's calling you to look at. There's some kind of completion that is going to be occurring with this lunar eclipse. And the final one is Pisces. So for you Pisces risings, you have Saturn in your first house. This is definitely, and you know, for everybody it's at 0 degrees, but this is definitely a place of rewriting the foundations of what you, of your creative practice, of how you see yourself in the world. Beautiful, mystic, visionary. Let's face it, the Pisces risings, they give you the shirt off the back, right? They're just so kind, so giving. We can also be deluded about ourselves. So this eclipse is happening in your third house, and so that has been asking you to look at your relationships with your siblings, your neighbors, your daily routine, how you think, and education, and networking, early education, how you network and how you connect with others, and dislodging old stuck stories has been a big story for you these last 2 years. And so with Venus in Virgo in your seventh house, a lot of this completion would involve a significant other or a business partner or a marriage partner, clients, and how we collaborate with others. Final notes as we round this up, with Mars translating these points through November 24th, meaning it will trigger action to be taken in terms, and hopefully we have taken this wisely, all of the initiations we've been through. And with Mars translating Scorpio, there is some actions and insights, things that the universe has been asking us to complete and close and open to a new chapter in our life is going to be very presented to all of us in the month of November. When you have Mars translate an eclipse point, you're talking about from November 2021 to now, if you look at your life and look back, give yourself credit. Mars is here to say, great, let's move forward with courage and strategically, right? It's a feminine water, Scorpio. So let's be intuitive. Let's not jump. Let's be proactive, but not reactive. And we can discover the unconscious patterns that have held us back or had us hang on in fear and be tightly controlling. This is a time when we can definitely let go of that. And that will be for the month of November. We have to remember, too, Saturn is at zero Pisces, right? That critical point in Pisces for this eclipse. And that is the complete unraveling of our reality structure. And like, what would be the ideal reality for your life, for your career, for what you want to achieve long term? Like, think big and think mystical and think transcendent. What kind of grand dream, some epic visionary art, for example, what kind of art and epic imprint do you want to leave on generations to come? Saturn, right? Saturn's about generations long after we leave. What do we want to leave the world, and what kind of foundations would support us in achieving those things? So that's all I've got for you. I hope you've enjoyed this, and please do like, share, subscribe. I love hearing from all of you. You're also absolutely marvelous. Pat on the back. We did it. We did it. We got rid of, listen to me, Freudian. I had a hard time, as you guys know, losing my kitties. It has been one of the hardest things of this, all four of my kitties of the last 2 years, and having to work through a lot of fear and loss. But hey, you know what? We're stronger for it. So give yourself a pat on the back. I'll see you soon. Much love to you all. Have a wonderful eclipse, blessed moments of insight, and just love yourselves and appreciate yourselves for everything that you've been through. And on we go for the next adventure. Okay, everyone. Bye for now. This is Irliana Samsara, Star Sound Speaks, starsoundastrology.com. Namaste.